Is it really interesting to see how these companies are approaching Chicago, right?
She was telling me she's really trying to understand how the tech ecosystem here works.
What's interesting about the baby boomers is that they've never met a debt they didn't like.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Steve Bertrand on this Monday afternoon. Welcome to the work week on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Of course, it is tax day, April 15th. So maybe some of you are at home in front of your computer or maybe with a pencil and form, a paper form. I don't know about that anymore. But this is the day many of us are rushing to get our taxes filed. We'll talk to Elise Glink about that in the second half hour. Oh, we also in the second half hour will talk to Dean Hedeker. Dean's been on before. He's the president of Hedeker Wealth Management. But one of the things I want to ask him about is this. I saw an article recently where the prince, Meghan Markle, Catherine Davis is in the studio. Catherine, welcome.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll get to the introduction in a second.
Okay.
Just need a foil right now. So Meghan Markle, right, mm-hmm. American, her baby and Harry's baby will be American. They have to pay U.S. taxes.
Oh, wow.
So if she gets like a gazillion dollar gift
trust
for the
fund.
Wedding or trust fund, all of that is reportable to the IRS. I did not realize that. And apparently, the U.S. is sort of unique when it comes to that. So we'll talk to Dean about that in the second half hour. Catherine Davis is here, as are the folks usually from Chicago Inno, to kick things off, the week off on Monday afternoons. Welcome back.
Thanks, Steve.
You know, Mayor Emanuel has got an event a little bit later this afternoon where he's going to sign a pledge or something like that with the with the folks from Israel, right? They're going to make Chicago and Israel sort of tech partners when it comes to the ecosystem. Now, I don't know what these sorts of agreements really amount to in the long run, but I mean, what do you make of this announcement?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is something that Rahm has kind of been pushing for the last year or two. You know, just in October, they held a health tech summit here in Chicago where they brought 20 Israeli startups here, you know, to kind of coach them, allow them to meet some top executives here in Chicago. And I think that this is really Rahm's way of making sure that, you know, when Israeli tech startups want to expand to the United States, they're looking at Chicago to put those headquarters, right? So, because that creates jobs here.
So sort of just putting Chicago on their map, if you will.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, all right. So we'll look for that. And I'm sure the mayor will have comments on it a little bit later today. I want to talk to you about Neil Penda, which is the Chicago startup. But they want to help people around the world, especially in underdeveloped parts of the world. Sounds like a great mission. And they're raising some money. Tell me about Neo Penda.
Yeah, so Neo Penda, they were founded in 2015, and what they do is they make wearable neonatal monitors. So these are designed, you know, particularly for people living in low-income areas without access to electricity. So they're, you know, testing this product in third-world countries, specifically in Uganda. And the device can check for vitals, right? So pulse rate, respiratory rate, oxygen saturation, temperature, and it can relay all that information over Bluetooth to nurses and then let them know how, you know, babies are doing when they're at the clinic.
So so this is to cut down on
infant mortality,
very bad in these areas. The battery is key, right? The fact that it's a long-running battery, so you don't necessarily need to have access to electricity to use this.
Exactly. It's powered by a rechargeable, low-powered battery. And so that makes it really ideal, right, when you're in an area that doesn't have electricity 24/7.
And the nurses that monitor it, and do they know, or do you know what their success rate is in Uganda?
Not exactly, but I believe it's pretty good because they're expanding beyond Uganda, and that's kind of what the new funding will be used for. So they raised $1 million last week, and that's going to be used to continue testing it in other third world countries.
All right. Well, what a great story if that can be a success. You talked to them, right?
Yeah.
Good folks?
They're good folks. You know, and it's funny, they're one of those startups that's actually saving people's lives. You know, a lot of startups are like, oh, we're changing the world.
Right.
Like, we're doing so much good, but I think this one actually is.
And so how would a company like this make money? Would they get a big name company to buy them to distribute this, or how would they eventually cash out?
Yeah, I mean, ideally they're probably working towards an acquisition, but you know, the product, you know, you do have to buy it. I mean, it's pretty cheap. I think
right.
It's like a couple dollars or so, but it, you know, it can be a profitable company at scale, right, if you have millions of people using this.
Well, let's wish them luck. Keep an eye on them for us. Okay, I really desperately need cannabinoid, cannabiod, C CBD. Cannabinoid oil.
Yes.
I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with it, but I really want some badly because it's the hip thing right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you need some relaxation time, this can help with that. But Half Day CBD is a new Chicago startup, and they're making and selling CBD oils, gummies, and creams.
What would a CBD gummy do for me?
Put you to sleep, probably.
Is that what? Because they say, I actually sound like I'm joking, but I'm interested in it because, you know, it's supposed to help with anxiety. It's supposed to help if you don't sleep well. I have a little stiffness or pain in my thumbs, probably arthritis. And it's supposed to help with that too, right? So
yeah.
I really do need to take a CBD oil bath.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people do use it to ease pain, right? So, you know, cancer patients take it.
Fine. It's just my thumbs. I get it. But.
Just giving you all the use cases here. But, you know, I talked to the founder and he was like, most people use it for pain and anxiety and aiding with sleep. So.
And so, but the lotions is you would just rub it on the parts of your body that hurt. And does it work?
Yeah. I mean, I imagine you kind of are inhaling the, you know.
But doesn't get you high, right? It's short of that.
No, it does not get you high.
And so the capsules then, they put you to sleep, or do you have any experience with that?
No.
Okay.
I've used CBD oil before, and it did make me drowsy, but not the capsules.
So we'll have to try it on our own, right? You're not going to do a commercial for CBD oil.
Not here.
But it's coming to, it's widely accepted now, right? It's legal in Illinois. It's coming to Walgreens, I think. Is it coming to CVS?
Yeah. So in March, drugstore giants Walgreens and CVS announced that they'd be selling the CBD products. You know, you've been able to get these in like little smoke shops or boutiques around town for probably a couple years now. But to see these big corporate companies getting behind it and this really being accepted as a wellness product and not, you know, associated with like drug use is something that's been changing.
The shop you walk in doesn't have its own little haze. There's a different sort of field. But having said that, it's still not like FDA approved for all of this stuff, right? It's still
majority, it's not.
It's a hopeful thing, but it's not scientifically proven necessarily.
Exactly.
Okay, Catherine, tell me about this company, Hierology. Just picked up $27 million, so that would imagine give them money for a great expansion.
Yeah, so Hierology founded a few years ago, and what they do basically is build a recruitment management platform software. So they do this for about 6,500 customers that they have across mainly consumer service industries. So think like car dealerships, hotels, spas, gyms.
So they use this, if you want to hire someone, you use their software and they will weed out the bad apples?
Yes,
weed in the shiny apples.
Yeah, so it kind of standardizes their hiring practices, right? Because oftentimes these are companies that are operating hundreds of locations, right? Like hotels,
sure.
You know, several locations across the country, for instance, and they want to standardize that hiring process for all those locations. So this really simplifies it for companies.
And so they're growing fast. I would imagine they're going to greatly expand with $27 million.
Yeah. So their plan is to hire some more people and build out the platform even more and give it additional features that will help people hire better.
Well, we're talking about funding. Another company, Avail, picked up $2.5 million recently. And I know we've talked about Avail before, probably with you, Catherine. They are for like small-time landlords, right?
Exactly. So like do-it-yourself landlords, you know, people that own maybe a 3-flat here in Chicago and need a easier way to manage those tenants. So they raised $2.5 million, and their software on the tenant side allows you to pay your rent, sign a lease, even apply for an apartment. So really kind of, you know, simplifies that process. You know, if you're just looking for an apartment on Craigslist, right? You know, not necessarily through a big
you have an
apartment.
You live in an apartment, right?
Yes.
So when you signed your lease applied for the apartment, was it pen and paper or how did you do it?
Yes, it was pen and paper.
Really?
But I did it with like a pretty big firm here.
Okay.
They had a whole process for me to go through when I was visiting.
Sure, but the point is that you didn't do it online, and this you could do online.
This you could do online.
I would imagine, can you search for apartments through Avail? I bet that would be a service that they would move into.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely think that that's a vertical for them. I think right now, you know, this is really mainly like once you get in touch with a landlord and you're interested in their property, and then they, you know.
Right.
Or like, here's Avail. Use this to communicate with me and pay and
which
apply
is so
and
great.
Everything.
And so, I mean, when I was living in an apartment with too many other young men in Milwaukee, and the landlord would call You know, and no one wanted to talk to the landlord, right? Or no one wanted to claim who they were. So the landlord would be calling the, who no matter what was announced, they said, yeah, this is Steve Bertrand. So I was always the one in trouble communicating with the landlord. Here, you could do it online. You'd be covered. Everything's good.
Exactly.
One more. So I think we talked to, Bennett, do you remember, did we talk to the people from Dorge? Oh, just about a month ago, March 5th, because they're a storage company where they'll come and pick up your stuff, but it's not like you're renting a locker or a space. They've got a huge warehouse, and so it's, I don't know if it, I think it's a little bit more expensive, but they have great more service, right? And now they're moving beyond Illinois?
Yeah, so they're actually expanding to Wisconsin, particularly Madison and Milwaukee. They plan to bring up to 40 jobs to those areas. And yeah, you know, they're model is a little different from some other storage companies, right? Because instead of, you know, kind of renting an entire unit that you're allowed to fill up till it's full,
right,
they only charge you for the actual items that you're storing, and they have a really advanced, you know, kind of categorization software that allows them to know exactly where every item is in a warehouse. And so it ends up being cheaper depending on how you look at it, because you're only paying for the space that your items are taking up, not for a unit.
And the downside is if you get thrown out of your house, you can't go sleep in your storage locker.
No. Are people doing that?
Sean Sandona was on with us, who you quote in the article. Mm-hmm. And he said at the time he wants to expand to 50 different markets. I mean, how are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think right now they're mainly bootstrapping. He told me that they kind of they're looking at raising some money in the future to help with that expansion. But I think the first step is this expansion in Madison.
I like the idea of it. We're involved in a move with the third party, and so we had to rent a storage space, and we have to go over there. We have to fill it up, and this way they would come pick stuff up. I think you fill up bins, mm-hmm. and they take the bins away. Much better way to do it.
Exactly.
Catherine Davis, read more at ChicagoInno.com. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks very much, Don Klepp and Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Keep an eye on that fire at Notre Dame in Paris. It looks just terrible. I hate to see that. While we're in Europe, let's go a little bit to the north, I guess, and to the east, to Britain. You know, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, they're expecting their baby at any day. And while you are struggling over your taxes today and getting them in the mailbox by midnight tonight, apparently the princess and her offspring also will have to worry about dealing with the IRS. On a phone line is Dean Hedeker. He's the president of Hedeker Wealth Management. He's talked to us before. Dean, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Good to see you, Steve. Good to be on the air.
Yeah, so tell me about this. I do know that she's an American citizen. Any baby she has will be an American citizen. But I hadn't thought so much about their tax liability. What does that mean for them?
It is amazing. The American system, it's like a tattoo on her back.
Yeah.
Because she is taxed all over the world, no matter where she goes. And so her first issue is she's got to file taxes, and she's got to report if she has any foreign bank accounts, if she's got any foreign securities accounts. She's got to report if she gets any gifts, and you know she got a lot of gifts.
Right,
right.
I mean, I didn't have to report my wedding gifts so much because they didn't probably meet the criteria, but I would imagine if you are a princess or soon-to-be princess that you're getting nicer gifts than I got at my wedding.
And probably, yeah. I think she did a lot better, and so she has to report all that stuff. And then, you know, and then these rules they conflict with each other. And then when she has the baby, then the baby now becomes a U.S. citizen just by virtue of being born to a U.S. citizen.
I was reading this article, and it said that the U.S. tax code is a citizen-based tax code, rather than, I guess, geographically based, and that's unusual around the world?
Yeah, because, you're taxed based on usually where you earn the income. And with the U.S., no. Once you have citizenship, it doesn't matter where you go. You can go to the moon. You're still taxed.
And so she's, we've touched on this a little bit, but I would imagine she's not drawing a salary, being paid a salary, but she still is getting financial benefit, whether it's gifts or trusts or things like that. And so Uncle Sam, we will get a part of that.
And Uncle Sam's going to make a fortune on her because she's going to pay in the U.S. She may have to pay over in Great Britain over there. It's going to be horribly complicated. And her accountants are going to be working overtime trying to solve this mess.
I would imagine they've been looking at it. Is there a way around it?
Well, it's difficult because at this level, you know, it's just she should have no foreign bank accounts.
Right.
She should get no gifts. I mean, how can you be the Duchess?
And not get but she can renounce her citizenship, right? But I don't know that. I don't think that would go over very well. But even if she does that, the baby would still be a U.S. citizen.
That's correct. The baby, the first of all, her renunciation wouldn't go over very well. That'd be bad PR. And then the baby is tagged with citizenship until the baby hits 18, and then the baby can renounce. But God only knows what kind of assets that baby's going to have by that time.
Right.
And the U.S. tax system can capture that as well on the renunciation.
Now, this is going to have to do with immigration law or citizenship law, which I don't think that's your area of expertise. But if she were to have the baby, she could not renounce citizenship on the baby's behalf. The baby has to reach 18 and
no.
do it on his or her own?
That is absolutely correct.
Oh, yep. Wow. Okay.
So the baby gets the U.S. tattoo just by virtue of being the baby.
Wow. So we need to make Illinois citizenship mandatory that way so we can collect from people overseas.
You got it.
I don't know if there's any way.
Absolutely.
I would imagine a lot of your clients are filing taxes today or have recently. What are you picking up from people with the new tax law? Are they surprised by it? Are they pleased by it? Frustrated by it? What are you hearing?
What we're seeing is people are actually surprised that they're having to cut checks to the government. What happened was their, you know, their withholding got reduced, and so they got larger paychecks, and as a result of that, now what's happening is they're owing more tax on April 15th, and
right.
It's coming as a surprise because I think they thought that the Tax Act was a panacea.
So they might have over the year paid less in taxes overall, but they're not getting that benefit on April 15th, and that hurts a little bit.
That's correct. Or the other thing is their accountants designed some strategies where they were trying to pay more tax now simply because the rates are lower.
Right. That's banking on the fact that eventually they're going to raise the rates again fairly soon.
Right. After 2025, the rates automatically go up, if not sooner than that. I mean, just listen to all the political rhetoric.
Right.
You can hear it already.
Right. Dean Hedeker is the president of Hedeker Wealth Management. Thanks for joining us, Dean. And, you know, the thing is, I was going to buy Megan a baby gift, but I'm not going to do it now because I don't want her to go through the hassle of having to report it.
Absolutely not. Don't buy her a thing. That's the best advice.
That's the best gift I can give. All right. Well, we'll talk again soon. I appreciate it.
Take care, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. That's time for my favorite part of the show.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Have you bought tickets to an event online recently? Well, if you have, chances are you spent a good chunk of that price on fees and charges that may have added up to almost more than the ticket itself. But the takeaway? People are still buying these tickets and filling up venues like never before, so this looks like a big business. Just ask Vivid Seats, the ticket marketplace based downtown, and they're buying Toronto-based Fan Exchange for $60 million. But something tells me those extra fees you have to pay online aren't going anywhere anytime soon. And it looks like the Symphony Orchestra strike situation isn't changing anytime soon either. Their next step is unclear after the musicians rejected the association's, quote, last, best, and final offer. There's plenty that the two parties are discussing right now, but it's primarily revolving around money, and what they're asking for would make them the highest paid orchestra members in the country. At a certain point, something has to give, and we'll keep an eye out as to how it ends. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. On the phone line now is Elise Glink from thinklink.com, Best Money Moves, and all of that stuff. Welcome back, Elise. I appreciate you joining us today.
Happy Tax Day, Steve.
Hey, I got to tell you, while we're talking, I continue to watch this fire at Notre Dame Cathedral, and it's a major, major fire. The flames are shooting through the roof of the center part of the cathedral. Just heartbreaking. I mean, this is going to be a devastating fire for this world institution. It's very sad to see.
It is, and you know, thankfully, I think they got everybody out, but no word yet, as far as I've seen, on what caused it. But
yeah, it's
certainly in advance of Easter, right? This is not, particularly devastating this week.
It's a good point. It's Holy Week, and like I said, the flames have shot through the roof of it, so it's right about in the middle of the church, not at one end or the other. So sad story there. Right, it's tax day. I was telling everyone just a few minutes ago about this bill that Bill Foster, the congressman from the West and Northwest suburbs, has introduced, which seems to make a lot of sense. So you would go to the, and I know we talked a little last week, Elise, about this bill that's got bipartisan support and also support from Intuit and H&R Block and all that, that would keep the IRS from actually allowing us to file our taxes through them, like tax forms there. So we've got that. So short of that, Foster's got this bill where you could download a tax form that would have all the information that the government already has on you and your financial institutions would be preloaded so you don't have to enter that stuff on your own. Right? So that would be like your W-2s. I don't know if that would be your interest statements for your accounts and things like that. Is that your understanding of it?
It is, and it actually makes a whole lot of sense. And believe it or not, it's what many other countries already do for their citizens. So we in this country have made it pretty hard to pay your taxes, which is something that everybody is supposed to do. And so this would make it a lot easier. You actually can go to the IRS right now. There was some confusion, I think, about whether you can send tax returns electronically through the IRS, and you can, and on their website at irs.gov, they do have a file your taxes for free button. However, that does not preload things for you, which
right.
is really a big help.
So what do you mean? So if I have a document, I can scan it and load it through the irs.gov site?
You can. Okay. You know, the free file option is available for, and this is terrific because you can still do it today, for anybody whose income is below $66,000,
right.
they have federal free file software, and they show you exactly how to use it.
It's so. Can I just say, I did it over the weekend because I filed my son's taxes, and it's great. I mean, and you could choose different companies. But because they do it for free, I think they do it for free to get protection for the big customers. But I used H&R Block software, walked me right through it, had a bit of a kerfuffle when I put down his AGI incorrectly from the year before, but they pointed that out, I fixed it, and everything was good.
Yeah, I think these software programs have gotten really great, and, you know, there's a lot of concern that TurboTax is the only option, but no, you know, most of the major tax filing companies have software that allow you to go year by year and make it easier for you, and you can choose the free file option. Try saying that 10 times fast.
Right, I will not.
Over at irs.gov.
And so today's tax day, if you're not going to get done, it's pretty easy to file an extension, but you still have to pay what you think you're going to owe, right? You don't get an extension on paying your taxes.
No, you don't. But again, at the IRS, now you can actually make a payment online, which is great. You can automatically file Form 4868, which is your application for an automatic extension of time to file. Everybody gets one who wants one. This isn't like you have to qualify. That's the second round. If you need another extension, you know, past October, you're going to have to file a different form. But 4868, right on the homepage of irs.gov, you click on that. It walks you through a couple of basic line items. It's not too hard to do at all. It's just take you a couple of minutes. But you still, to your point, have to make a payment, and you can do that either with a direct pay at irs.gov or use a debit card or credit card.
So what happens then if you get the extension and you think you've paid what you owe, but when it comes time to filling out the filing after the extension, you realize you owe more money, are you penalized then for that?
You are. You'll be penalized at the IRS's very low interest rate, so not too bad. And it'll only be for the amount that you underpaid. And, you know, but remember, the underpayment is if you have filed and paid at least 100% of what you owed from the prior year, and you're still under what you owe this year, let's say you had a really good year,
right.
You should not get a penalty on that because the requirement is that you make at least the same payment as you made last year. So, but getting close, if you're a couple of bucks off either way, the interest on that will be pennies, and it's a really good idea to get ahead of it.
Okay, so you get your return, and you see you're going to get a couple $1,000 back. Do you take that money, or do you apply it toward next year's tax bill?
So if you are self-employed, you're required to make 4 quarterly payments to the IRS. My husband Sam and I, we are required to do it for some of our income. Well,
Are you required to do that?
You are required. If you're self-employed and you have self-employed income, yes, you are required to.
I only do it when I feel like I need to. I guess I should have read that law a little more closely.
Well, you may not be required to. So if you don't earn income in a particular quarter, you may not be required to file. You're probably required to file, but you may not be required to pay anything.
Interesting.
But self-employed people should take a look at the law and take a look at how your income flows and make sure that you are doing at least a quarterly statement. And you should get those if you have been in business for yourself more than 1 year. You should get those kind of pre-done for you from the IRS and also from the state of Illinois.
We've got to go. Honestly, I have those, but I've always thought, well, if I didn't have any income in the first quarter, I'm not going to bother mailing anything in. So I just wait until I've got money to pay them.
I would take another look at that, Steve.
Oh, good.
I'm not an accountant, but I would take another look.
I got something to do tonight. Elise, thanks for that. See, that's why we have you on the show. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it.